Hi there, and welcome to another palliative care teaching podcast. Today we're looking at the subject of tissue donation, and to set the scene, I'm going to hand straight over to a clip from Shelley.
At the age of 27, I was diagnosed with a very rare condition in my eyes. This left me with next to no vision in my right eye, and the pain was awful. Since my transplant, my vision is amazing. I can see my daughter's face so much clearer now, which I've never seen before. I may eventually need a corneal transplant in my other eye and would encourage anyone that can to donate. I'm so grateful to my donor and his family.
So to talk about this today, I'm joined by Ruth Wild, one of our very own end-of-life care facilitators, and a special guest, Gail Mander, who works for NHS Blood and Transplant, and she is a specialist nurse in tissue donation. So Gail, what do you make of what Shelley shared?
So I think Shelley's story is an example of why tissue donation, and particularly corneal donation, is so important. This surgery has really changed her life. It's enabled her and her family to lead a normal quality of life. And we do find that a lot of patients that require this kind of surgery are actually really young patients that lose their sight in their teens or their early 20s. So it's not just elderly people that require this kind of transplant.
Yeah. Now, before we get into the detail of tissue donation, can we just talk a bit about the difference between organ donation and tissue donation? Because everyone's heard of giving a lung or a liver or a heart. But tell us a bit about the difference.
So organ donation is life-changing and life-saving surgery. But unfortunately, very few patients can actually donate organs. So 3% of the population could potentially donate organs, and the reality is that only 1% of those die in a particular way to be able to donate.
Wow.
With tissue donation, most patients can donate tissue, and even if the patient dies outside of a hospital setting or they've got an underlying medical condition, they may still be able to donate.
Yeah, and what's the potential impact of one tissue donor in terms of what their tissue can give to other people?
So one tissue donor can potentially help up to 50 people, which is an enormous gift to be able to give. And one corneal donor can potentially help to restore the sight of up to 10 people.
Wow. And what are the other tissues that can be donated other than cornea?
So heart valves are used mainly for children that are born with congenital heart defects. And then we use things like bone and tendons for reconstructive surgery to restore mobility. And skin is used as dressings for things like burns and similar kinds of wounds. And when we had the recent terrorist attacks, the Manchester bombings, an awful lot of donated tissue was used to help those patients.
Okay. So tell us about the law around tissue donation.
So in May 2020, England went over to the opt-out system, and people may have heard about this as Max and Kira's law. So basically what it means that unless a patient has opted out of the organ donation register, it will be assumed that they did want to donate organs or tissues. And the reason for this is because we know that a huge number of the population are pro-donation but not necessarily have registered on the organ donation register. So by having this legislation, it means that most of those patients who did want to donate will be given the opportunity, and it also makes it easy for the family to make that decision because they know that if the patient generally didn't want to donate, they would have opted out.
Okay. So presumably, though, all of this hangs on us as a trust referring and notifying.
So, yeah, it's still important that people refer to us because the tissue referrals and the organ referrals come through to NHS Blood and Transplant, who deal with all the organ and tissue donations in the UK. And unless we know that patient has died, we can't check the register and establish what that patient's wishes were.
And this is a time-limited thing. So how long have we got to let you know at NHS Blood and Transplant that someone's died?
So tissues are time critical, so corneas have to be retrieved within 24 hours after death, so that's a really tight time scale. And during that time we also have to speak to the family, contact the GP and the coroner. So what we're asking is that we are notified of death as soon as possible after death, but it's important that the next of kin are informed before you make that referral. So it may be slightly longer than that if you can't get hold of the next of kin.
Yeah, so that brings me to you, Ruth, to tell us a bit about what's happening on the wards at BHRUT at the moment. How well are we doing at notifying Gail's team about these potential donors?
Okay, so the Trust has signed up with Blood and Transplant NHS to refer all our adult deceased patients. So that's 100% of all our patients. Currently, we are only referring 11%. So that's 89% of people that aren't referred, given the opportunity to give the gift of life to somebody else.
Gosh. So, I was going to just say, like, what do you think the barriers are? Like, why are we doing so badly?
I think it's because people are afraid of bringing this topic up with grieving relatives. But actually, all they need to do is be able to give them the leaflet and say that we do refer all our patients for tissue donation. And then they can either decide that they don't want them to be referred, but that's okay. Or that it could be that they had said that and they hadn't thought about it, so therefore that gives them the opportunity to say, oh yes, they do want to donate, so thank you for telling me that. So, and that's usually the reaction that you get. Yeah. And the only way that the people in Blood and Transplant are aware that our patient has died is by us telling them that they've died, so that they're able to retrieve the tissues if needed.
And how do we make those referrals practically? Where is the form?
Okay, so there are several ways that we can refer. So we can either use the telephone number on the back of the leaflet or on the website, which is Tissue Donation, or the Palliative Care website. And now it can be done through Medway, through clinical notes. So all of these actions can be taken at any time. So there is really no excuse why we can't refer.
So just to be really clear, the aim within the Trust is that every single adult death will be notified to NHS Blood and Transplant, and that's the duty of the ward team as almost as soon as someone's died, because it needs to be done within 4 hours. Is that right?
That is definitely correct, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And there should be no barriers to that, because tissue donation can be done. It's not our decision whether they are suitable for donation. It is down to the Blood and Transplant to decide whether they are suitable or not.
Yeah, so even if a family, for example, are up front and saying, no, we definitely don't want our loved one to donate tissue, the notification still needs to go.
Yes.
Just with that box ticked.
There is if you do it through Medway, there are several places that you can send the notification form. So therefore, if the relatives have definitely said that they don't want to be contacted, you can tick that to say that the next of kin has declined, and then still send that off so that Blood and Transplant are aware of the patient.
So this is why 100% is a realistic goal for the Trust, because actually all it is a notification of what the situation is here on the ground.
Yes.
Okay, now you mentioned the fear of upsetting families. I mean, that's definitely one potential blockage, isn't it, in this process. But I imagine there are some other myths as well around who can and can't be a tissue donor. And Gail, do you want to sort of...
Yeah, so a lot of people assume that if they've got a medical condition or they've got poor eyesight, that they're not suitable to donate. But actually, most patients can donate. There's very few contraindications. And even patients with cancer can still donate their corneas. We've even had patients who have lost their sight and been blind that have still been able to donate their cornea, because we're only looking at that clear lens part of the eye. So when we're talking about end-of-life wishes with patients, what we also find is that quite often patients don't raise it in a conversation normally. And the reason for that is because they assume that us as healthcare professionals will have that conversation with them if it was a potential for them.
Yeah. And what about things like ethnicity and religion?
So all of the main religions do support organ and tissue donation because it is a gift. But what we would say to families that are not sure whether that fits within their religious wishes is to have a conversation with their religious leader, whoever that is, and just discuss it with them. But we should still be making that referral, even if you know, we suspect that patient may say no, because we won't know until we have that conversation with them.
And unlike organ donation, you're not actually tissue type matching.
No. So what happens is the tissue is retrieved by specialist retrieval teams in the same way that organ donation proceeds. And then the tissue is sent to our specialist bank in Liverpool, which is the biggest tissue bank in Europe. It's then processed and stored and sent out to hospitals throughout the UK. So tissue hasn't got a blood supply to it. So for that reason, we can transplant it into any patient of any ethnicity.
Wow, that's so interesting and helpful. I mean, as we draw the episode to a close, what are your take-home messages for staff listening to this?
So just remember that this is just so important. And regardless of whether you feel that you would want to donate tissues, it's not your decision, it's the family's decision. And currently there are 89% of our families that have been denied the opportunity of donating tissue. And we know that families gain great comfort from that decision, knowing that something positive has come out of that really, really difficult time for them.
Yeah, and you said it's the family's decision, but I guess while I'm still alive, I'd like it to be my decision. So if I, listening to this, want to donate my tissue when I'm dead, how do I go about making sure that people know that?
So you need to register on the organ donation register, so you can still register wishes through the organ donation website. And the most important thing is to have that conversation with your family, because we do know that if the family are aware that you wanted to donate, regardless of what their wishes are around donation, they will still make sure those wishes are met. So it's a really important conversation to have.
And I imagine for many families that they draw great comfort from the fact that although their loved one has died, that death has given a gift of sight.
It's allowing other families to live their lives to the full, and that's something that our families, our donor families, really get great comfort from. So they may have lost their loved one, but that person, it enables another person to be able to live their life to the full.
That's so good. Thanks so much, Gail and Ruth, for talking about this.